This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Just 1 week ago, Hoosiers officially began to stay at home, except for essential activities, per the governor's orders. Again, that was just a week ago. Feels like longer, right? Well, one of those essential activities, according to the governor, is outdoor activity. It is spring, after all, and some of the best places to enjoy the outdoors in Indiana are, of course, our state parks. Joining me now is the deputy director of Indiana State Parks, Ginger Murphy. Hi, Ginger.
Morning.
And
afternoon.
Well, hey, we'll forgive it. Time doesn't mean anything right now, does it? Like everybody, I'm staying home. I'm home right now. Actually, today's show is pre-taped, so we can't take your questions or comments live. But we are going to have some fun this hour. Okay, so first of all, Ginger, I go to the state parks website, stateparks.in.gov, and I'm seeing that everything is canceled. Of course, all the organized hikes, the bird walks. What have been some of the big impacts the coronavirus pandemic has had on the state park system?
Well, of course, one of the things that is most important is that we separate from each other physically, not how we communicate, of course, but we separate physically. So a lot of the programming that we do, when you look at our DNR calendar, that is all done in groups. So our interpreters lead hikes. They do all kinds of talks. They do programs with live animals. They invite people into the nature centers to spend time and look at exhibits and talk with them. So those are tough things to do when you can't be close together. We tried for a while. We did some programs where we spread people out for hikes and we only did outdoor programs. And we reached a point with the governor's stay-at-home order that we felt like that really did not contribute to what he wanted to see happen and what the State Department of Health wanted to see happen. So we stopped all of our public programs. We are now doing some virtual programming, some programs on Facebook Live and some pre-recorded programs that will show up on Facebook. And DNR's YouTube channel has great resources and great fun things to look at. So we're staying relevant. We're staying on top of that in terms of communicating with our guests, but programming, just tough to do in person right now. That's one piece.
Virtual programming, that seems interesting. What are some examples of that?
Our interpreter at Brown County has done a program on Weed Patch Hill. You've been to Brown County, the big open space where the park office is and that big open field that's now Wildflower Meadow. That area is called Weed Patch Hill. And our interpreter, Patrick Halter, did a history lesson, a little short history lesson on how it came to be called Weed Patch Hill and the history of it and some of the things that are there now, which is a great story. Jill Vance, our interpreter at Monroe Lake, has done a program on geodes, which is something that a lot of people are fascinated by. She's done a snake program on Facebook Live, and she's done a salamander hike. She actually did a virtual hike to look for salamanders in streams about a week ago. So those are the types of things we're looking at doing. Our interpreter at Spring Mill, one of the parks with a lot of history, talked about the Red Cross cabin and the connections with Clara Barton, who started the Red Cross. So we've got a lot of stuff planned in April and early May while we're still all sitting waiting at home. And there'll be lots of opportunities to watch that on Facebook and in other social media channels.
And so how can people find out when that sort of thing is happening? State Parks website, Facebook?
There is a great calendar. It's the DNR event calendar. And you just go to calendar.dnr.in.gov. And all of the programs will be listed there. And they're just starting to pop up. There'll be the word virtual in front of them. They're going to see a lot of canceled programs because those stay on the calendar for a while, but they will also see these virtual programs popping up. So it's a great way for families to connect, for parents who are at home with their kids trying to work through how to make lessons out of daily things to take a look at those. It's a great opportunity to participate with your computer.
And the governor, as we mentioned, listed outdoor activity among his list of essential activities, which are exceptions to the stay-at-home order. But has he mentioned anything specifically about Indiana state parks?
He has talked about outdoor spaces and parks being an important feature. First Lady Janet Holcomb came out to Fort Harrison and did a short video with Henry Holcomb, her dog. Their dog went on a hike at Fort Harrison about a week or so ago and used that in social media to promote our state parks and other parks that are still open as great places to be outside. And it's great for physical exercise. It's great for mental change too, from sitting in your house and watching coronavirus coverage on television 24/7. It's good to step away from that periodically without forgetting how serious it is. And we're happy to be places where people can go and do that. I happened to be at Fort Harrison this just day before yesterday on Tuesday, and had a great opportunity, or excuse me, Monday, had a great opportunity to just watch people outside. They were flying kites. It was a windy day. People riding bikes, people taking walks, people enjoying the golf course, which is still open in it with some restrictions, and not a soul on the playground, which is it's a popular playground, and it's I'm sure it's hard for parents to have their kids resist it, but the playgrounds are. There's so many things to touch. That's one of the things we've asked people not to use during this stay-at-home order with parks still open. So, but people were just having a great time, just being outside in the sun and the breeze, and the trees are starting to turn. And it was just really great to watch.
Okay, so the parks themselves are open, but not everything in the parks are open, I suppose. We mentioned the playgrounds, of course. What else is closed? What else is off limits for people?
Grounds, drinking fountains, we're not open in the drinking fountains. Picnic shelters are closed as well. Our park offices and nature centers are closed. If people are looking for a way to buy their lake permit to put on their boat or a horse tag, those can be purchased online at shopinstateparks.com, or they can be purchased through the customer service center downtown by the phone. The entrance gates are not open and the campground gates are not open. We are not charging admission, gate admission right now. We do still charge for camping, and people should make a reservation in advance. So you can hike, you can picnic, you can bike, you can camp, you can just spend time with your family in a play field. There are just some facilities. Like also the fire towers are closed because people handle those when they climb up the rails, they hold onto the rails. Some facilities that would get a lot of hand touching and a lot of use are not open.
Is there anything else that's on a more limited basis? I guess I'm thinking of basic upkeep like trash pickup and things like that. What should visitors do to help out in that regard, and maybe what should we be aware of?
Working. Our full-time employees are still working, and we are in the process of ramping up for summer, hoping that we're going to be back open soon. So we have staff on site who are going to start mowing really soon. They are doing bathroom cleaning. We're opening bathrooms that have been closed all winter because you didn't want the water to freeze. So those facilities are all opening up. But certainly, we have a carry in, carry out policy in our picnic areas for trash. And we want people to take their trash home with them. That's been a policy for a number of years. We ask people to continue that. That helps us not just in this situation, but that helps us to manage nuisance wildlife. You have fewer raccoons and skunks and things crawling in and out of trash cans if they're not there. And if people just stick their trash in the trunk and take it home with them. Campground still has trash dumpsters. But the rest of the parks, we ask that people take their trash home with them.
What about visitation, though? Are we still seeing a bit of a spring uptick, all things considered?
We have seen that in conversations I've had with several of our property managers, anecdotally, of course, where we're because we don't have gates open, where we're actually counting numbers and taking gate fees coming in, but anecdotally, property managers are seeing increases in families coming out with their kids and taking hikes. It's weather dependent in large part, just like it usually is in the springtime. You have a beautiful day, a beautiful Saturday or a beautiful Sunday, you're going to get crowds. And we had that this past Sunday, even with the wind. We have lots of people on our parks. But several of our managers have said people are really taking advantage of that opportunity to be outside in the midst of this COVID-19 crisis.
What about places where social distancing just isn't possible? I'm thinking of stairways up ridges or things like that, or the suspension bridge over Sugar Creek at Turkey Run, a very popular park. It's impossible to stay 6 feet away from somebody if you're passing them going opposite directions. What's, I guess, etiquette or how to handle a situation like that?
Well, in that situation, what I would do is I would wait at the end of the bridge until the person coming the other direction crossed and just take turns. Just like other places on trails where it's narrow, you can't always pass. So you wait at a wide spot and let someone else walk past you. I've seen some information online suggesting that when someone's passing you on a trail, just, you know, normally you would turn and say hi to them. You'd acknowledge them, you make eye contact on a trail because you're out there by yourself generally, and you don't want to just walk past someone and not pay attention to them. But this suggestion was that you actually look away or that you step aside on the trail so that there can be some separation, and certainly don't breathe or sneeze or cough on another person, but just step aside. And for the suspension bridge, I just would take turns. Just like some of the old iron bridges that are still out there that are one lane, you wait at the end, and then when the other person's across, you take your turn.
All right. And I mean, I worry about this. I know sometimes when I'm feeling ill, I think maybe just a few hours outside, get some scenery, maybe some fresh air, and I'll feel better. What would you say to somebody who isn't feeling 100%, who thinks maybe a visit to a state park might help? Should they go?
Well, normally, under normal circumstances, I might say, yeah, come and have a seat at a picnic table and just relax and stay put. But today, in this situation, my advice would be, if you don't feel well, plan a trip on a different day when you feel better. Don't put yourself or anyone else potentially in a situation where they might have contact with you if you don't know whether you're carrying that virus or not. So it's a good idea just to stay home, as we've been advised to do by the State Department of Health, even from parks if you don't feel well.
We're talking to Ginger Murphy. She's Deputy Director of Indiana State Parks. She's joining us via Skype, and we're talking about using our state park system amid the COVID-19 pandemic. When we come back, as long as we're talking about social distancing, we'll talk about some of the parks that don't see such big crowds but are definitely worth a visit. We're back with that in 90 seconds. I'm Matt Pelser. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. We're joined again by Ginger Murphy, Deputy Director of Indiana State Parks. This being the beginning of the second week of the governor's stay-at-home order, though among his list of essential activities are being outdoors, and he himself is encouraging visitation to Indiana state parks. Today's show is pre-taped, so we can't take your questions on social media, but we'd still like your input. Let us know if you've been to a state park recently. We're on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana. So we have these guidelines, Ginger, but are there any official restrictions in place in the state park system? Maybe specific to a certain park or a certain county that a park may be located in?
One of the things, Matt, that we hear on our social media a lot is, you know, it says that it's okay for us to go to parks and parks are essential, but our county has travel restrictions. And what we tell folks is that Governor Holcomb has said that the opportunity to get outside and be outdoors in parks is important. But we also tell you to check with your county, check with your local county officials if there are some sort of travel restrictions and get their perspective on it as well. That way you're looking at both sides of the issue before you make a decision to travel.
Okay, let's just pretend for a minute that everything's normal and we're just talking about spending a nice spring day at an Indiana state park. Enough of the COVID talk. Let's escape now. Spring wildflowers are popping up. What can we see and where are some good places to look?
Oh, this is one of my favorite times of the year because the spring wildflowers are starting to bloom. This early in the season, in late March, you want to start in the southern part of the state. And if you want to really look at wildflowers, you can kind of move your way all the way north to Pokagon or Dunes and see the same flowers as they pop up because the weather at the temperatures move northward, it gets warmer. So, or it's colder than it gets warmer. So you can start in the south and move north. So there are some great places to look at wildflowers. Versailles State Park has great wildflowers along their hiking trails. Charlestown State Park is known for some of their wildflower, showy wildflowers on their state parks. And that's down by in Clark County, down by the Ohio River, and Versailles is in Ripley County. So those are two great places to go to start in early spring to see wildflowers. There's spring beauties are up. The hepatica is up, and that's a great wildflower to see early in the spring. We're starting to see cutleaf toothwort, and we're also seeing a number of other wildflowers as well. And that show's going to go on all the way through May and into early June, and those wildflowers don't care about COVID-19. So it's a great way to enjoy the outdoors and just enjoy what's changing on the forest floor in the springtime.
What about birds? They don't care about COVID-19 either. The spring is when the birds come back. Some of them are nesting, of course, but some are just passing through. What are some good parks for birding?
Well, right now, this is where we're getting waterfowl moving through. So ducks and geese are moving through, and we've just had a conversation about pelicans, white pelicans that are being seen at places like Summit Lake and Mississinewa Lake up in the northern part of the state, and then a fish and wildlife area, Goose Pond, which is over in western Indiana, is a great place for waterfowl and for white pelicans. So they're coming through now. Then a little bit later, as we move into late April and early May, it's going to be just the really showy warblers, the neotropical migrant birds that come through, and they some of them drop in and nest here, but some of them go all the way north up into northern Michigan and up into Canada to nest. But boy, there's some bright colors and incredible flashes of color that you'll see in the woods with prothonotary warblers and blackburnian warblers. And just if you grab a bird book and look up warbler and just flip through the pages, if you've never birded before, it's a great way to get connected with birds. You expect to get what we call it warbler neck, because you're always looking up at the trees with your binoculars, and at the end of the day you got a little crick in your neck. But it is worth it to watch them come through and listen to their songs.
Warbler neck. Oh, I love it. Now, okay, how about mushroom hunting? Morels are coming up. I always see a lot of people with their plastic bags this time of year walking through the woods. But mushroom hunting often involves going off trail. What's the state park system's official position on that?
We do allow that in our state parks and on our reservoirs, and it's kind of fun to watch. I saw some folks on Saturday in southern Indiana who I knew were mushroom hunting because they kind of look at you furtively, you know, they don't want you to really see what they're doing. They're carrying plastic bags and they don't want you to see their favorite spots that they're looking. So people are pretty protective of places where they find those morels because they taste so good. But we are starting to have folks do some searching right now in the southern part of the state. Still pretty cold in northern Indiana to be looking for them, but morels are certainly a popular feature for folks in our parks. Standalone nature preserves, which are separate from state parks, we have nature preserves in our state parks, but the standalone ones are places where you can't hunt mushrooms. But state parks, state forests, you can hunt them. There are some restrictions in fish and wildlife areas because of turkey hunters. On the timing for mushroom hunting, but that's certainly a popular Hoosier activity in the spring.
Okay, and the water's a little cool right now, but that won't stop some people. What about some of the best paddling spots in the Indiana State Park system?
Patoka Lake is a great place for paddling, whether you like to kayak or canoe. That's down in the southern part of the state, close to French Lick. Chain of Lakes up in the northeastern part of the state has a series, a chain of lakes, really about 8 or 9 lakes that are connected together with channels. And it's one of my favorite places to canoe or kayak. I worked up north at Salamony and Mississinewa Lakes for 12 years, and Chain of Lakes was where I went for fun. on the weekend with my canoe. So it's a great place to get out on the water and enjoy. So Chain of Lakes in the north, and Patoka's great in the south. Hardy Lake is another place that's great for canoeing and kayaking. There are a number of people that canoe and kayak at Monroe. They go to some of the less common and less used outdoor recreation areas, state recreation areas, and put their kayaks and canoes in. I've seen pictures of bald eagles and osprey and a variety of wildlife from people who are out kayaking and canoeing.
And of course, I'm sure in some of those places where canoe and kayak rental is offered, I'm sure that that is closed right now. So people have to bring their own boats. Do they need a permit for that?
Yeah, most of our kayak rentals and canoe rentals are closed for now as a part of the COVID-19 issue. And if people bring their own kayak or canoe, or if they're boating in a bigger boat to fish, they need to purchase a lake permit and put that on their boat. And those are available right now online at our online store. And then they also can be purchased through the customer service center in downtown Indianapolis.
We're talking to the Deputy Director of Indiana State Parks, Ginger Murphy, about hitting up the state parks now that it's spring. And of course, we are also talking about some changes that are happening. Of course, some buildings are closed, some facilities are closed due to the COVID-19 outbreak. But that is not stopping people from going outside. So, if we, I guess, while we're on the water, what do we need to know about fishing licenses?
Well, of course, we're in kind of a unique situation again this year with fishing licenses because of COVID-19. Normally, people would need a new fishing license tomorrow, or today, excuse me, April 1st. But that has changed a little bit. If you already have a fishing license, then your license will be good. If you have a fishing license for 19 and 20, it will be good until I think it's May 22nd. So you've got more time. Because you're supposed to be staying at home, can't go pick one up, or it's harder to get access to them in person at our park offices and our Fish and Wildlife offices because those offices are closed. So they have extended the length of time that you can use your 2019, 2020 license, fishing license. So that makes it a little bit easier for folks. But if they do want to go ahead and get a new license, they can do that. Again, the customer service center in downtown Indianapolis has them available. And you can get them at a Walmart or any sort of retailer that normally sells them.
So, if we're being encouraged to use social distancing right now, maybe it's time to think about visiting some of the less popular parks. So, I want to talk about some of the hidden gems in the state park system. And remember, we are statewide, so what's far away from me here in Indianapolis might be right in someone else's backyard. What are some of the best unsung state parks in Indiana?
One of them is Lincoln State Park, which is in Spencer County, down in southwestern Indiana. It is a it's a tremendously important park in our history. It is the region of the state where Abe Lincoln spent his formative years, and the story of Abe Lincoln is a part of the park's history and a part of the story that we tell. We have a great Lincoln Bicentennial Plaza that was put in celebration of his 200th birthday in 2009. And it's a really moving place. It talks about Lincoln as he grew up, and then you go around on the backside and you read the Gettysburg Address, and it's just a really powerful experience to be there. Has a great lake for canoeing and kayaking, great campground and cabins. We have a great nature center there and a naturalist who loves working with kids and families, and a fire tower that will be open hopefully this summer. So it is, and it's right across the road from the national site that celebrates Lincoln in Indiana as well. So there's an opportunity to be both at a state park site and a National Park Service site as well. That's one really great one that people should take advantage of if they never have.
And I've also heard about when I've heard about like alternatives to Brown County in the fall, say. Anyway, I know it's spring right now, but leaf gazers. I've also heard of Shackamack is a good place for that.
Kakamek is a great park, and in fact, that's one place that I tell people if they want to see great fall color and they don't want to see the huge crowds that you see at Brown County, take a trip to Shackamack. It's close to Linton and Jacksonville, Indiana. Also has three wonderful lakes that are good for kayaking and good for fishing. Nature Center that's open in the summer. So it's a really nice park to visit. And again, wonderful loop road that drives around one of the lakes and just a great place to see fall color. Hickory trees and oak trees and beeches and maples. It's just a really pretty park.
So I am confused. All right. So I've heard the name Ubachi or Obachi. I'm not sure how people pronounce it, but whenever I see it, I think, oh, that's probably a Native American spelling for Wabash. How do we pronounce Ubachi or Wabash?
Well, we pronounce it Obachi.
Obachi.
Obachi is how we pronounce it. There was a period of time where it was pronounced Wabash. We tried. It is a permutation of the spelling, the French spelling, of an Indian word for the Wabash River. So we tried for a while to get people to pronounce it Wabash. And people would look at us and go, "Where is that? What do you mean?" And when we said Obachi, they would say, "Oh, Obachi, I know that." So we have pretty much just given in and gone back to saying Obachi in the pronunciation. And it is located near Bluffton, which is really the people in Bluffton love Obachi and see it as their home park. It's right in their backyard. There's a bike trail that goes from town into the park and through the park. The park has a great history. There was a CCC camp there, Civilian Conservation Corps camp there. There was also a game farm, which is an interesting history that Obachi and Brown County both share in terms of their history before it became a state park. A lake called Kunkel Lake that people can fish on or kayak or canoe on, and a brand new beach that's not very old that people have come to love, and great hiking trails, of course. All of our parks have great places to hike. And the one thing that makes Obachi really unique is that we have a herd of a bison there, American bison there. And there's a trail that runs around the bison pen. It's a big pen, and people can watch the bison do what bison do, which is mostly stand, sleep, lay in mud puddles, and eat, graze. But it's fun to watch them.
All right. So, how about some of the other unsung areas where people might not see as big a crowds as they would say at Brown County or Turkey Run or McCormick's Creek?
Those are all great parks, and they've got a long history. They're some of our oldest parks. But there are some other places that really have great resources and great opportunities. Hardy Lake, which is just not far off I-65, south of Indianapolis, close to Scottsburg, is a really nice property. It's not huge, but they have great playgrounds. They have a great campground. Again, they have a lake and a beach. One of the things that makes that place unique is that we have a raptor rehab center where we handle birds of prey that have been injured and get them back healthy if we can and back out into the wild. And that rehab center is not open to the public, but our interpreter there has several birds of prey that are, we call them educational ambassadors. There are birds that she uses in programs there at Hardy and then also around the state. She has a bald eagle, she has a barn owl, she has several other species that people get to see those in programs if you're at Hardy Lake in the summertime camping. And it's just, boy, to be face to face with a bald eagle, that's a pretty cool thing. You don't get to do that very often.
All right, to close, I'm not going to make you pick your favorite children. You are the deputy director of Indiana State Parks, but where do you like to go to get away? What's some of the best scenery that you like?
Well, I am a bird watcher. I'm a birder, so I enjoy Summit Lake in the springtime. It's one of my favorite places to go because of the waterfowl. So I will take a trip over there and spend some time with my binoculars out traveling around the lake looking for birds of prey or birds and ducks and geese and all kinds of birds. I certainly enjoy Prophetstown State Park, which is north of Indianapolis, close to Lafayette. Because Prophetstown is so different, we have a tremendous Native American history there, and we also have a prairie. It's our prairie park. It's right at the edge of where the forest meets the prairie, and it is beautiful when the prairie is in bloom and the prairie grasses are tall. So those are two places that I thoroughly enjoy, and all of them, every single one of them, has something unique about it. And there are people who love every single one of them best of all and go back there all the time. So we love that people care about our parks and they have favorites, and but we always want them to try new ones too.
Ginger Murphy is Deputy Director of Indiana State Parks. Ginger, this has been such a pleasure. Thanks for the work that you do, and thanks for your time today.
Well, Matt, thanks for inviting us to talk about state parks. We always love to do that, and our goal is to help people make memories naturally in the parks all year long.
Up next, I'm going to talk with the General Manager of Indiana Trails Community on what they say about getting outside amid the coronavirus pandemic. I'm Matt Pelser. That's in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. We've been talking this hour about getting outside amid the coronavirus pandemic. Some are happy to stay close to home, but others want to venture out to areas less familiar. There are certainly ways to do that while protecting yourself and others. And joining us now is Gary Davis, General Manager of Indiana Trails Community, a nonprofit dedicated to advocating for Indiana trails. Gary, welcome.
Yes, good morning.
So, not to get you in trouble or anything, but where have you visited since this all started?
All around the central part of Indianapolis and trails west of Indianapolis, the B&O, for instance, that runs out. The B&O trail is a major trail that runs out through Hendricks County, especially in the Brownsburg area. Also, the Vandalia Trail, which is a major paved trail that runs east-west through the Plainfield area and is being extended. Both of those are going to see more development in months and years to come. So that's been a little bit my vantage point at this stage, but we are trying to keep tabs on the trails groups all over the state of Indiana, and we're asking folks to send us reports of any closures that might take place, and fortunately there have been very few of those so far.
So if people are getting cabin fever, or perhaps more seriously, if this isolation is exacerbating or causing any kind of mental illness, what can being outside do for us?
Well, we see a lot of studies, of course, Matt, that say simply getting out and enjoying the outdoors, the fresh air has been something that's been advocated for by medical professionals. Same thing for the vitamin D value of sunlight. And of course, being Indiana, we have varying degrees of sunlight depending on what day and what hour it is. But it's interesting that when the sun pops through the clouds, the trails just take off. People just jump out there right now, and I think especially for families that have school age children at home, it's a great way for them to get out, blow off some steam. Once again, we can't emphasize enough the social distancing and the medical warnings that are out there for people. Keep your distance, stay 6 feet apart, and so forth. But the urge to get outside has been evident. I don't know, even know how you quantify it. I personally haven't seen this many people on trails in ages.
It seems from your vantage point that that this is very essential. People are getting a little antsy.
Well, I think that's normal, Matt. If you think back, and we were having a conversation recently, if you think back to the early days when jogging first caught on around the country, 40 years ago, whenever that was, people weren't out jogging just for the physical fitness benefits. They were out jogging because they sort of understood that that was a type of a stress reliever, a type of an anxiety reducer. And so that part of it is not news, except it may be novel to younger folks. that don't remember when that whole craze took off and never left. It's been with us ever since. So the whole notion of getting outside generally makes people just feel better. It helps them to clear their mind a bit, whether it's on a bicycle. And I did a 10-mile bicycle ride myself yesterday, and I came back tired, but my head was relatively clear. And, you know, all things considered. And just saw literally hundreds of people out on the trails out here in the western areas of, you know, Plainfield and so forth. And not to mention the fact that, you know, springtime in Indiana is a colorful time. And now we're seeing, you know, the trees are budding and the flowers are popping up. And so a lot of folks, if they have their cameras or if they have their phones, they're going to be able to get some pretty good nature shots coming up here very shortly. We have dogwoods in bloom, tulip trees are budding. And so it's going to be a very colorful time to be out in spite of the very bad news at the national level. So.
Indeed. Yeah. I mean, we got to hear from the DNR in the last segment. They're, of course, over Indiana State Parks and Indiana State Forest. They're all still open. Can the same be said, though, for all trails in Indiana?
I wouldn't want to make a statement on behalf of all trails, but let me give you an example. Just talking yesterday with Greg Midgley, who has been a longtime leader of the Cross-State National Road Heritage Trail, which is a huge trail that's in the progress of being developed from Richmond to Indianapolis to Terre Haute. And he told me he's heard of no closures along the line so far. And that's one indication because the National Road Heritage Trail crosses through many counties and many communities. And so we're, you know, our staff is trying to keep tabs on which trails managers around the state are doing what. And so far, cross our fingers, we haven't heard of any more closures. So let's just hope folks keep their distance. I think the vast majority of people are getting that message. There are a few outliers.
How many different groups are in charge of various trails in Indiana?
It's well into the dozens, and that's an interesting discussion because trails in this state can be operated by a variety of different folks. And you mentioned the state with DNR, which is over state parks and state forests. And then we also have the federal government involved, believe it or not, with the Hoosier National Forest and also with the Army Corps of Engineers with those parks that are around large dams and reservoirs. And then our group started out years ago in the 1980s developing privately owned and privately operated trails. And when we look around the state, there are many, many trails that are run by private, not-for-profit groups, and not only managed by them, but also depend on huge cadres of volunteers to help keep an eye on the trails and help with maintenance, and then, of course, in springtime, repairs, et cetera.
And we heard in the last segment that camping is still allowed in state parks, but you mentioned the Hoosier National Forest. Is camping allowed there right now?
The National Forest is saying at this point, and this is really an edict that comes down from their national office. They're under the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and their understanding of federal guidelines is that they should not allow camping. Now, that seems to be up to some bit of interpretation, and Indiana DNR and other parks around the country, many of which are still allowing camping, can have different rules. You can have different rules state by state and even in localities.
There are some trail closures, though. Do you know of any off the top of your head that you can announce right now with confidence?
Not in the state of Indiana. We're seeing reports around the country with different state parks being closed and that sort of thing, which, you know, basically limits the ability for people to get on trails to begin with. We've heard reports from around the country of parking lots being closed. Well, closing parking lots is one way to limit personal contact and maintain the social distancing. But in Indiana, our trails, luckily, like I say, keep our fingers crossed, are open. And folks just have to spread out, keep their distance, and don't go walking shoulder to shoulder down these trails and so forth.
In central Indiana, though, isn't there a section of the Monon close to Carmel that's closed for some reason? Is it because it's near a densely populated area?
It is, and of course, when we look at the map, when we look at the coronavirus outbreaks in Indiana, they are almost exclusively in the more populated areas. That's not to say that they won't hit the rural areas, because all projections say that they will. But in Carmel, you have a unique situation in Carmel where the Monon Trail that goes up through the middle of Carmel is so busy on an average day. And then with business closures and so forth, it's been just heavily utilized. And the city of Carmel felt, for health reasons, that they had to shut it down, at least that section in the middle of town there, which I believe is about a mile and a half long, to force people to spread out and scatter. Now, we're trying to find out when and if, or under what conditions, Carmel might decide to reopen that section of the Monon. But if that happens, obviously it's going to take some substantial public understanding and cooperation in terms of what needs to be done there.
Are there other closures, perhaps for other reasons, around the state? I've heard of some tornado damage in the southwestern corner of the state.
A couple things. Luckily, nothing terribly major at this point. Down in Newburg, which is the eastern suburb of Evansville, they've had to shut down the Rivertown Trail temporarily due to some tornado damage down there. It sounds like there were no major injuries, which is fortunate. Obviously, as a trails group, we would hope to see that trail reopened as soon as possible. But they have to do some cleanup down there, and they want to keep people spread out and not cause further spread of the virus down in that area at the same time that they're cleaning up. Up in Fort Wayne, there have been a lot of listings of detours on trails due to springtime repairs and construction and so forth. They may have had some high water in one of those areas. We've had some strong wind damage on some trails up in north central Indiana. Nothing major, nothing that the trails groups can't handle. If that gives you a kind of a quick overview.
Yeah, sure. And I want to get this back to this idea of different jurisdictions. We talked about the Hoosier National Forest. It's still open for visitation, not necessarily camping. Of course, Indiana is now home to a national park, Indiana Dunes National Park. Are there any restrictions there that we should know about?
That is a very good question, because the Indiana Dunes National Park is spread out amongst numerous communities up on the lakefront, and we're trying to get a handle on that. I can't give you a good update at this point, Matt, on the Indiana Dunes National Park, other than to say at last notice, things were still open up there. But if somebody were, well, I'm not going to say you could camp up there, but if you wanted to camp in the state park, which is surrounded by the national park, DNR wants folks to get reservations and don't come in there without a reservation. But from what we've seen, trails are open so far.
And you can get those reservations online, of course. But what about people in that area? Hasn't Chicago put some heavier restrictions on their trails?
Well, they certainly did. And that was a huge news item that came out late last week. And it started with the famous Lakefront Trail there along Lake Michigan, which runs for 20 or 30 miles along Lake Michigan. The reason that's significant to us, not just because Chicago is our neighbor, but from a trail standpoint, it's very significant because Northwest Indiana has a whole network of trails and pathways, not to mention things like the South Shore Railroad and so forth, that connect into the South Chicago area. And so we wanted to alert Indiana Trails folks in Northwest Indiana just to understand that if you're riding your bike, or if you're hiking or walking across the state line up there, just simply be aware of what local restrictions may be in place, and particularly along the shore of Lake Michigan.
Well, what about Illinois as a whole, though, or other adjacent states, Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky? Are we seeing restrictions surrounding Indiana, blanket restrictions on trails or parks?
We're keeping a close eye on a couple of areas, number one of which is the Louisville metro area, because that includes a number of counties in Indiana, as you know. And there's a lot of, in terms of trail users, there's a lot of crossing back and forth over the Ohio River down there with the bridges and so forth that enable bicyclists and walkers and hikers. Same thing with Madison, Indiana. What we're seeing so far is that Kentucky's restrictions are pretty much the same as Indiana. And then the same thing with Ohio. We're keeping an eye on the Cincinnati area because we have three counties in southeast Indiana that feed into the Cincinnati metro area. The Cincinnati metro area has an extensive system of trails and pathways as well. And so we simply want our Indiana folks to be aware of what's happening across the state line if they get out on pathways and so forth.
What about the future? As we look into sort of the near future, can you see a scenario where we might see more restrictions on Indiana trails?
We're going to lean on the medical professionals for this, honestly. And DNR and the state and the governor would be the first ones to respond to this. But if they're to put out an edict saying closed pathways and closed trails, trails folks would have no choice. Right this very moment, we don't see that happening. That's not to say that it couldn't change.
Gary, what do you like about going out in the spring? What do you like to do?
I am a certifiable bicycle nut. and honestly, I like hiking on dirt trails because it's easier on the knees and ankles and so forth. But, I love getting out on the bicycle. And, being from Indiana, some folks may not be totally aware of this history, but Indiana has one of the most interesting bicycling histories in the whole country. Whether you want to talk about the movie Breaking Away, or whether you want to talk about the Hilly Hundred, or you want to talk about Wilbur Wright of the Wright brothers and their start in the bicycle business before they flew airplanes.
Major Taylor as well.
Major Taylor was a worldwide phenom who was a superstar of sports 100 years ago. And of course, here on the northwest side of Indianapolis, the Major Taylor Velodrome is named in his honor. And because of the building of the Major Taylor Velodrome, that allowed Marion University to have a home bicycle racing track. And as you may know, Marion now has won numerous national bicycle racing championships.
And my wife is an alum. She's told me all about it. I had no idea.
It's absolutely incredible. I was a volunteer at the Velodrome when it was first built for the National Sports Festival. I think I must have been 2 years old at that time. cough, cough. but anyway, the excitement around the building of the Velodrome was tremendous. So Indiana has this dual track, literally and figuratively, of an amazing bicycling history mixed in with our substantial automotive history and our substantial railroading history. And so all those run parallel in the history of the state of Indiana.
I've seen some posts of people lately using sidewalk chalk on paved trails. I mean, does Indiana trails community have any opinion on that?
The only opinion is that any chalk art on the trails needs to be the washable type, the water-soluble type chalk. And secondly, the messages need to be positive and upbeat, and the artwork needs to be appropriate for the general population. And we're seeing a lot of creative things on trails, and most of it is I'm going to say almost all of it is perfectly socially acceptable. A lot of young kids are doing drawings and putting positive statements about there, urging people to be positive through the virus outbreak. And so there's a lot of creativity with these chalk artworks on trails. Just make sure that it'll wash off.
Gary Davis is General Manager of Indiana Trails Community. Gary, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you a lot, Matt. Thank you.
Our producers are Drew Dodlin and Maggie Galon. Scott Cameron's our managing editor. Our show is engineered by Adam Gross. Our podcast can be found wherever you get podcasts. Subscribe so you always know what we're up to. Catch up if you find you have a little more time these days. Tomorrow, we're back with a conversation about Indiana's hospitals. Do we have the resources to handle the pandemic when things get worse? We'll talk to local health professionals to get the latest. Send questions or comments for that show to Facebook or Twitter at All in Indiana. I'm Matt Pelser. Thanks for listening. This is All In.